1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, as you're turning there, I just want to give you a little update on the Price family. The Price family are serving the Lord over there in France. And he just wanted to highlight a couple things that's going on over there. They just had a tremendous time with the Tour de France. And we were able to hand out a lot of gospel tracts, a lot of gospel witness. Things were going well. And he just highlighted one thing he'd ask us to pray for. He said, two things really. He's preaching the first week of October, he's preaching a men's meeting. And he just was asking prayer that God would use him to preach the word, to be that leader he ought to be, and really challenge the men to be all that God would have them to be. And so I hope you'll be praying for the Prices as Brother Price goes there and strives to do that. And then he also said, asked everybody if they would be praying for their meeting, their meeting room in, I believe it's Luncheon or Luchin, something like that, there in France. And he's pastoring two churches, and just started a Bible study, the second one. And he said they might be losing their meeting space. And so he said, just if you would keep that in prayer, and just really be praying for them. But I'd encourage you to be praying for the Prices. And I know I've been kind of slacking on letting you know what's going on with them. I'm doing the best I can. When they email me or write me, I try to read the letters. But let's be praying for our missionaries that God would use them. Be praying for Brother Knapp. Of course, he's out of this church. And it really fired up, trying to do some great things there in the Philippines, and just starting churches and winning people to the Lord. And that's encouraging to me and Brother Price with his passion for church planning. So be praying for them and for the work that God's called them to. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 in our Bibles. And notice there in verse number 3 tonight, the Bible says this. It says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. These things give in charge that they may be blameless, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanting against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. Father, help us tonight as we look at widows and our responsibility toward widows as a church. And Lord, what God expects out of the older generation. I pray that there would be conviction. And Father, I pray that there would be a change. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as you begin to read about the early church in the book of Acts, the Bible talks about the early church and the struggle. One of the first struggles they faced as a church was the issue of dealing with widows. As I look out at the congregation here, we've got some widow ladies and we've got some widowers. And a widow or a widower is one that simply has lost their spouse. A widow is one that's lost her husband. And a widower is one that has lost her his wife. And that's what the early church was facing. Understanding the Roman day and time and the Roman Empire, there was very little value placed upon a widow or a widower. The fatherless and the widows were kind of the bum of the earth. They were the ones that were the offscore. They were the ones that people looked down upon, and there was no programs for them. You were left many times to defend for yourself. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ came on the scene, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that message went throughout the whole world, man, here are those folks that were receiving the message. They were changed and they sold out for God, and yet they still were struggling with daily food. They were struggling with their meals. They were struggling with housing. They were struggling with daily necessities. And you remember that the apostles, man, they were gung-ho, busy preaching the gospel while waiting on tables, while helping. And the first deacons were called the seven deacons because their purpose was to help with the issue of dealing with those widows and waiting on tables and being that servant. And as Paul is addressing Timothy, of course, he's talking about different people in the local church. He says, Timothy, you better make sure that you are placing a high value and a high priority upon widows. You know, we live in a day and time where elders are looked down upon. I remember when I was growing up, my parents, they were brutal toward me. And whenever an older man or lady was in the room, man, there was respect. And my dad at an early age taught me, Steve, you need to go shake hands with the older generation. You need to respect them with yes, sir, yes, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. There was a respect that my parents taught me that sadly this generation that is coming up, they don't have. And there is very little respect for the next generation. I think about in our nation as a whole. Elders are looked down upon. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine in North Carolina, older preacher, this past week. And we were talking about some of the younger preachers that are stepping on the scene. The church up in Pennsylvania where we came from, they're voting on there's a young man in his that's younger than I am, in his late 20s, that's candidating to be the next pastor. And we were just talking about how he wants to do away with the old-time preaching and the old hymns and all the things that the former generation has. He wants to throw that away, and he wants to go that new route. And I said to that pastor that I was talking to in North Carolina, I said, you know what's sad is the younger generation of preachers is throwing away the older generation. They don't care about the battles they fought. They don't care about the standards. They don't care about the life that they lived for the Savior. And instead, they just discard them and really don't care what they think at all. And let me just say, church, that is unbiblical. As a church, we are to honor those that are older. We are to honor the widows that are widows indeed. We are to honor the older generation. Why? Because God has used them to do great things in days gone by. And instead of being full of ourselves and full of our pride, thinking that we are something, we have to be submissive to their leadership and submissive to their teaching to help us to go on and mature in the things of God. I think about some of you older ladies, some of you widows, and I think about the wisdom that God has given you and the more stories that you can tell. And I think about some of you men that God has used them. And boy, you can look back on your life and this is your testimony. Hey, God desires to use you in your older years to make an impact and an imprint on the next generation. Let me just say, God has never called us to retire. You read about the prophets in the Old Testament. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and he died. It doesn't say that he went and lived on Social Security for 25 years and then passed away. No, it says that he was faithful preaching, faithful doing what God called him to do, and he died, and he died. I like old preachers that I get around. I think about Brother Bobby Robertson up in Walkertown, North Carolina. He's in his 80s, and a man's still preaching at the Gospel Light Baptist Church. You know, 2,500 people go there a week. Man rears back. He preaches the Word of God. Hey, he just keeps on going. He says, hey, there's no retirement in the Bible. I'm not slowing down till God takes me out of here. And what can we learn from the older generation is that, hey, keep on plowing for God. Keep on going for God. What does the older generation teach the younger generation? It teaches them, listen, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. They are teaching us, this is the way walk ye therein. I mean, not men of God like Dr. Ernie Childs that influenced my life, an old-time preacher. Now, I remember he would be teaching a class, and men he'd get going, preaching, we're back and going, and then his dentures would go flying out. And then we all die laughing, but there's been Ernest Childs preaching that old-time preaching, the old-time living, and Holy Ghost of God being filled with him, and had the war stories. And I think about Brother Ron Comfort, who's coming in November, and the Brother Comfort, 75, almost 80 years old, preached the Word of God for years, and seen God do some wonderful things, thousands of souls saved, impacting people all over the world. Hey, listen, we don't need to despise those individuals, but we need to learn from them and glean from them. And as Paul is writing to Timothy, of course, Timothy's a pastor in the church of Ephesus. He says, Timothy, here are some things that you need to be cognizant of. Why? Because if you're not aware of them, it's going to slip. If you're not aware of what's going on, the truth is you're probably not going to deal with the issue. Can I be honest with you, older generation? I think I was talking to Mark. We were talking a little bit about the importance of communication. And can I be honest with the older generation? I don't necessarily know the aches and pains you go through. You know why? Because I've not been there before. And listen, I need your grace as your pastor. I need your help to, if there's a need, if there's something that is going on in your life, man, I need to know. It's something that I've not crossed before. It's a bridge that I've not had to deal with before. And it's something that we're learning. And listen, older generation, it's your responsibility to make sure you're communicating. So that way, we as a younger generation can step up and be that help and be that support that we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes hand in hand. And so when it comes to widows in the church, what is our responsibility? I just jotted down a couple of things here by way of introduction. We live in a world that devalues the older generation. Euthanasia. I remember back 10, 15 years ago out in Oregon, man, that became big, right? Colorado. And they started to pass those laws. It's okay for you to end your life when you want to, legally. And what were they doing? They were devaluing the older generation. But we live in a society that devalues them. Elder abuse happens more often than one would think or imagine. Approximately 1 out of 10 Americans age 60 plus have experienced some form of elder abuse. Some estimates range as high as 5 million elders who are abused each year. One study estimated that 1 in 14 cases of abuse are reported to the authorities. Let me say, this is the United States of America. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? We are living in a generation that devalues the older generation. What do they do? Well, Dad is in a wheelchair, so we're going to throw him in the old folks' home. Well, Mom's going, losing her mind a little bit, so we're just going to go ahead and put her in the crazy home. Listen, as kids, it's our job to honor them. It's our job to take care of them. The Bible says that we ought to honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. God says we're to honor them. We're to respect them. Now I understand there are times when they're at risk that maybe, you start to reevaluate and think through things differently. I know when my grandma, just before she passed, she was in that nursing home, and the plan was always going to be temporary, and she was going to go home, but eventually she passed away in that nursing home. But she needed help. And there's certain times when that is needed. But listen, it ought not to be our first choice. It ought not to be, well, they're hindering my lifestyle. They're bothering me. They're becoming a nuisance. So forget them and let me go on my merry way. No, it ought to be we're going to take care of them, honor them, and help them as long as we can. I put this down. We're willing to change your diapers when you were growing up. We ought to be willing to change theirs when they're old and gray-headed, all right? We ought to honor the older generation. And so Paul, writing to Timothy, says, listen, Timothy, here are some things that we've got to do when it comes to honoring the older generation. It says in verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now understand, here in this passage, there's four different kinds of widows. There's four different kinds of widows in our church. There's the widow that is a widow indeed. That's one that has nothing, one that's broke, one that is in need of help financially and emotionally and physically. There's the widow indeed. There's the widow that lives for pleasure in verse number 6. That's the lady that has a bank account, and she goes and lives for bingo night. She goes and lives for the next vacation. She goes and lives for her entertainment and her pleasure, and has no care about the things of God. There is the widows that have children and grandchildren in verse number 4. And their responsibility is for the grandkids to take care of them. And then in verse number 11, it talks about the younger widows. And those God's command for those younger widows is for them to remarry. But really, four different individuals, four different widows, examples that are in every local church. Not necessarily each person, but we can see the group that is mentioned. And so, what are we to do with that older generation, with the widows? We are to honor them. We are to esteem them very highly. The elder women were to be held in a place of respect and priority. It says again in verse number 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. These things give in charge that they be blameless. And so, honor them. How are we to honor them? What should we be looking for? We ought to be looking at where they're at when it comes to needs. When it comes to, hey, here's where we can step in. We need to be aware and cognizant of what is going on. We need to help them. I put this down again. Widows and widowers, you have to communicate with us about your needs, all right? Sometimes we get busy going 100 miles an hour and we forget. And that is on us. And really, as your pastor, I have failed you, some of you, and I've not checked on you like I ought to. I've not been there. But listen, it's a two-way street. We need help. We need help with that. But as a church, we're to honor them. That word honor is the same word that God uses in verse 17 of chapter 5. It says, let the elders that rule well be kind of worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Honor. Physically, that's what it was. Hey, the preacher that preaches right, he's worthy of double honor. What's honor? It's a paycheck. And so, you know what? There were ladies in the church of Ephesus and in the church of Jerusalem. Man, they were broke. And so, what was the church supposed to do? They were supposed to step in and help meet the needs. Now, the question is, Pastor, do we help out everybody that has a need? And let me say, the answer is definitely no, okay? I get between 2 and 5 phone calls a week about people needing money, food, assistance. Thursday night, it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and the doorbell rang. And I'm teaching my wife how to respond when somebody comes to the door. And you don't unlock it. You go get the gun first, and then you unlock the door. And we're working on that. But lady rang the doorbell. And I stepped out on the porch, and she said, Pastor, she said, I need money. And to begin to talk with her. And I told her, I said, well, I said, our policy and what we try to do is we try to help our church folks first. And we try to help with that situation. And really, by the time I got done talking, she realized that she was not a candidate for our help. But, you know, if we were to help everybody that called, let me say we would be broke in like 3 weeks, all right? You can't help everybody. And by the way, a church is not a welfare. A church is not a, food stamp program. It's not a, let me write you a check to subsidize your rent. No, the church is a tool to help with Band-Aids. Band-Aid, you got a cut. What does a Band-Aid do? Helps stop the bleeding, right? And it helps with the problem temporarily, right? If there's a big problem, listen, we're not going to help somebody that is, has 3 cars and has a big flat screen TV and has a brand new iPhone. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to counsel them. All right, you're really desperate. You really can't meet rent. Well, then here's what I suggest. Then go sell your car. Go sell your trinkets. Go sell your toys. And when somebody is truly at a place where, man, we're desperate, there's nowhere to turn, that's when a church steps in. And by the way, I believe we help our church member, somebody that is tithing. And Brother Eddie, I think we were talking about there, Brother Dwayne, the last couple months, we've been just going through and getting the philosophy behind that. I think Brother Larry, I was talking to you about that, of giving and what's our philosophy of ministry regarding that. And truth be told, is the church is set up, if you're faithful, and then you're giving your tithes and you're giving your offerings, and all of a sudden you hit a road bump, and man, you're struggling, and that's where the church steps in. But you know what? I always think about this reality. Maybe those that are struggling financially are struggling because they're disobeying God. Now, I'm not going to judge them and be like, that's the reason why. But I know in Malachi chapter number 3, the Bible says that we're to bring all our offerings to the storehouse. And he says, makes a statement. He says, prove God. Prove me. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. Hey, that's the only time God says prove me, right? When it comes to your offering and tithes. And could it be that because you're not obeying, that God shut the windows of heaven up and he's not blessing you because of your disobedience? I don't know. But that's why we help out those that are church members, those that are faithful in their tithes and offerings, because, hey, maybe God's trying to get your attention in helping you to go through that struggle. That's just our problem. But as a church, what's our responsibility, the elders to the older generation? We are to step in and help them. We are to care for them and help them. Not put them in a nursing home because you don't want to deal with that, a headache. But we are to step in and be a blessing and encouragement. Look in verse number 4. It says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Paul deals with the family relationship. Those of you that have kids or that are younger, those of you widows that have kids, man, if the kids are able, that's where they step in. And understand, in those days, though, many times if you got saved, you were disowned by your family. And their only family was the local church. That's where the church would step in. But let me say to the younger generation, I think about John and Deb, my in-laws. I hope they're strong, and I hope they keep on plugging away. But if there were to come a time in our ministry where we had to take them into our house, that's my wife's responsibility. That's our responsibility. I told my sisters, I'm not taking care of my parents. That's their job. But they had 12, so they'll be fine. But I think about the reality is, as a parent or as a kid, our responsibility is to help our parents out. My mom every week sends my grandma a $100 check and just says, Mom, this isn't for your light bill. It's not for your cell phone bill. It's for you to go spend and go out to eat. Go get your nails done. Go do stuff with it. And she's honoring her mom. And that's just missing so many times. And so he says in verse number 4, that's the responsibility of those widows that have children. They're to go and they're to live under the care of their godly children, if at all possible. But verse number 5, it says, now she that is a widow indeed, so no kids, no grandkids, there's nobody that she can turn to. It says, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. Paul begins to talk about what are the requirements for helping a widow out. She's got to be number one, she's got to be desolate. Number two, she's got to be godly. She has to display a life of trusting in God. You know, we've seen it here in our church. There's been some that have come, and they don't have a godly testimony. They've not proven themselves in the local church. There in the book of Acts, Dorcas, I believe, was a widow, right? And they had that widow's ministry of making coats. And she proved her walk with God, and Peter was able to raise her from the dead, and what a wonderful thing that was. But she had that testimony, Hopper. She had that testimony of walking with God. And so that needs to be the reality. She has to display a life of trusting in God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. She just did not preach it, but she was also praying that prayer, give us this day our daily bread. She proved she walked with God. I think about the older generation. Some of you older ladies, man, you got the stories. And use that influence of godly ladies to impact the next generation. A godly widow is like George Mueller, who took care of all those orphans. Many times they'd go to the cupboards, there'd be no food there, and he'd make the kids sit down, and they would sit down and he would pray, and as he was praying, thanking God for the food that was going to be delivered, there'd be a knock at the door and the food would be delivered. That needs to be the case for the older generation. She's got to be godly. She's got to display that life of trusting in God. She needs to be a prayer warrior, verse number 5. She says, we're indeed and desolate, trusteth in God, notice, and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. She needs to be a prayer warrior. Some of you ladies, man, you don't have the kids running around any longer. I think about my wife, and I think about those of you, Jenny, I think about Crystal, I think about Tabitha, man, you got Rachel, I think about your responsibilities as moms. Boy, you get up in the morning, and unless you're up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, you're not going to get quiet time, right? Because, man, come 5:30, 6 o'clock, here comes some little feet pattering around. And it's nonstop all day, right? And, boy, you find, I know sometimes Christy will come to me and she'll be like, I'm struggling to find that secret place. I'm struggling to find that time alone with God. I'm trying to find that time where I can just spend some time alone with the Savior. It's hard when we've got all these responsibilities. I think about some of you older ladies, though. Man, the kids are out of the house. It's quiet. And it's relaxed. Man, God expects you to redeem that time and spend time in supplication and in prayers. Listen, we need your prayers. We, the younger generation, we need you guys to plead over us. We need you to pray for us. It's something that we just, I mean, it's desperate. We're at a place where this generation could turn away from God. We need the older generation to stand in the gap and to be that prayer warrior pleading with God upon our behalf. Listen, those of you older generation, maybe you can't go out and knock on doors. Listen, be praying for your pastor as we try to tell people about Christ. Be praying for the Saturday when we go out visiting. Be praying and pleading with God. You've got a connection with the Savior. You've got that throne room where you can go in boldly and get a hold of God. That's what the widows, that's what they would do. They would spend time with God, pleading for Timothy, pleading for Paul, pleading for Peter. Remember when Peter was thrown in prison, the church, they were praying and asking God to deliver Peter? Hey, there was a lot of older folks that were part of that crowd that were seeking the face of God. Why? Because you know what? Man, the younger generation, they're out working like crazy. And they come home, you know what they do? They go right to sleep, right? I know some of you boys struggle going to sleep. Hey, use that time instead of watching reruns of Andy Griffith. Hey, use that time to get alone with God and plead and pray. A godly widow is one that displays a life of trusting in God. She's a prayer warrior. She's watching in the prayer. She's praying without ceasing. She's continuing in prayer. It's just not a one-time prayer moment, but it's an active part of her life and ministry. She prayed all the time. She was not distracted by the cares of the day. The requirements of an elder, of a widow, a prayer warrior. Not only that, but she lives for the Lord and not for herself. Look in verse number 6. It says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. She's not focused on the temporal, but she's focused upon the eternal. You know, I think about the older generation. They realize that their time here on earth is drawing to an end. You know, I hate to tell you that. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Doug Meter. I mentioned him Sunday school up in Connecticut. He's 60 years old, and he was preaching about church planning. And he said this. He said, I realize that I've come to a time in my life where I've entered the third phase. The third phase is that phase of moving out of full-time ministry and really becoming that mentor and really becoming that come alongside and help. And he said, I'm at that phase in my life. And, you know, he doesn't have that energy. Well, he still does. He's praying about Springfield, Massachusetts, going to start another church up there. And I love it, man. So I love getting around folks that start churches, that love the Lord, that are just fired up about the things of God. But you know, the reality is, you know, we were talking yesterday. He said, Steve, he said, you know what I realize? I realize that the trinkets of this world really don't matter. He says, when compared to where I'm just about at home in heaven. And that older generation, you realize that. Why? Because, I mean, it's just the reality. Man, time is coming toward an end, and the older generation realizes it. So what does she do? She does not live for the moment, but she lives for eternity. She was rich in good works, and let me say, God wants to use you in your retirement years to use your talents for the Lord. Listen, don't coast. Those of you widows, don't sit back and relax. Man, put the gas pedal down and go out going 100 miles an hour for God. So there were widows. What are the requirements? She's got to be older. She's got to be desolate. She's got to be godly. Look in verse number 9. He goes on. It says, by the way, verse number 8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let me just say to you men and women, we need to make sure that we are taking care of our family. And listen, not only by bringing home a paycheck, but we better make sure we got life insurance. We better make sure that we're preparing for the future. Because you know what? Hey, I would hate to stand before God and have my family not be taken care of. I would hate for that to be the case. So, man, let me just encourage you. That's just a little side note. Make sure you're providing for your family. Make sure you're prepared just in case something happened. I remember when I was in 8th or 9th grade, I was playing basketball with Mr. Elliott, my Sunday school teacher. And we're having a great time. He's sweating like a dog, 39 years old. And we went to youth group. He went and sat down in church, had a massive heart attack, and died. And 39 years old. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So let's make sure we're doing our job, men, and providing for our family. But look in verse number 9. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. So it goes on. What's the requirement for a widow? She's got to be 60 plus. So if you're not 60... you don't meet the criteria, all right? Sorry about that. And by the way, this is not a McDonald's senior citizen. I get the McDonald's senior citizen, all right? I go through the drive-thru, I like the senior coffee, and I pull up, and they're like, you're not a senior. I say, don't discriminate, I'll sue you. And so I get the senior coffee, all right? But this is not a senior discount where you get to finagle the numbers. 60 is what God says, all right? And so 60 years old, and he goes on, he says, I haven't been the wife of one man. So she's been faithful in her marriage. She's not been going around and married to 50 different guys and just, you know, no, she's had a faithful testimony of being married to one man. In verse number 10, well reported of for good works. You know, the Bible, we talk about good works, and we're like, well, you can't earn your way to heaven by good works, which is true, that's Bible. But you know, we ought to have a testimony of good works. I ought to have a good testimony. And that's the case for this the widows and widowers. Hey, they ought to have that testimony of a good work, good testimony for God. It says in verse number 10, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. What needs to be her testimony? Hey, she needs to have raised godly kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Moms, that's your responsibility. Dads, that's our responsibility. We need to be raising our kids according to the Bible. When they are old enough, they're going to decide what they're going to do, but we ought to chart the course. This is the way to walk you therein. She needs to have a servant spirit. It's not all about me. It's not woe is me. Look at me. But no, it's a servant. She helped relieve the hurting. I thank God for these last couple of weeks. Miss Janice, that was wonderful lasagna. And Mr. Schnur, thank you for the soup. And did you make soup? You made barbecue. Mark, thank you for the soup that Danielle made. I appreciate the servant spirit here with these ladies. And I think about Miss Eloise. Boy, you had foot surgery. And Miss Barb. And some of you jumped in. And boy, that was your ministry. Thank God for that. That needs to be a testimony of helping and encouraging and coming alongside of. And that's the testimony of the older lady. She's been faithful in her walk with God and in her relationship with God. Look in verse number 11. It says, but the younger widows refuse. So we go from the women that are, the widows that are desolate, the widows that have kids that they need to be a part of, the widows that live for pleasure. And lastly, Paul deals with the widows that are younger. He said in verse 11, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax one against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they cast off their first faith. And with all, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. All right, so what does God say? God said, here's my plan for the younger widows. Get married. Get remarried, and that's God's will. Yeah, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, he said, I'll let them remarry in this Bible. That's what God's will is. And what's God's will? God's will that you bear children, that you would have kids, that you would guide the house. Simply put, man, your house is not chaotic. Your house is under control. And I understand we've got four kids, and if you've been over our house at certain times, you'll find it's chaotic. But man, as a whole, Chrissy has done a tremendous job of, usually it's chaotic when she goes shopping or something and I'm left in charge and I'm sitting at the table and I'm doing something, right? And then like 15 minutes later, everything's everywhere. But you know, she is to guide the house. That's the responsibility God's placed upon you ladies. Man, you're supposed to keep, you know, make sure the things are in order. And, you know, you keep, you know, and I know, so, you know, everybody does things differently. But ladies, that's your throne room, as they say, right? That's your testimony. And the younger women, that's your responsibility. God the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Why were they to get married? Why were they to be focused upon their kids? Because verse number 13, it says, and with all they learn to be idle. You know, you've heard the statement, idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? You know what happens when we get idle? I'll tell you what happens when you get idle. You get on Facebook and you start saying things you ought not say. You know, you get on Twitter, you start tweeting, you start, you know, just browsing. And before long, 4 hours go by because you've been clicking Pinterest, all right? Hey, listen, turn the Pinterest off, turn Facebook off, and do what God's called you to do. And so Paul, writing to Timothy, says, Timothy, as a pastor of a church, you're going to deal with these four different lady groups. The widows that are desolate, that need help. And the church's job is to come alongside and help them if they meet the criteria. There's the widows that have kids and grandkids that men they can say, hey, I need help, and the kids and grandkids come alongside and help. There's the widows that live for pleasure. And Paul says, hey, let them do their thing. Don't worry about them. And then Paul says to the younger widows, my desire and God's plan is that they would remarry, have kids, be the wife that they ought to be for God, and raise a family for Jesus Christ. And so you ladies that are widows, listen, we're to help you. And so if there's something that we can do as a church, please let us know. And even if it's, you know, going out with Miss Ann to go get some awful, you know, food at the diner, we're hanging out, right? And we want to be a help and a blessing to you. And it's something that we as a church, really that's the course we're going, the way that's God's ordained. And we want to be a blessing and help to you, all right? So, church, I hope this helped you. And I hope that we've got some nuggets that we can just stick back in the brain here. And I hope we don't have any more widows, all right? So all you that are married to men, keep them, all right? And let's not check out of here. We don't need any more widowers. All right, let's just all live till when Jesus comes back, which will probably be tonight. But let's just keep on plugging away. But if Jesus tarries, you know, two things are certain, paying taxes and death, right? And so we're going to have to deal with this. And by the way, let me just say this in closing. Mrs. Elliott, my Sunday school teacher, Mr. Elliott, 39 years old, when he passed away, he left his wife a rather large inheritance. But Mrs. Elliott was, how do I say it kindly? You know how there's some people that they may not have blonde hair, but they act like a blonde. You know, all right, I'm getting in trouble. All right, that was Mrs. Elliott. All right, and I mean, just she was. I don't know. You know my favorite candy. You know what it is? It's Airheads. All right. And that was kind of Mrs. Elliott, all right? Now, I'm trying to be delicate with this, all right? But when Mr. Elliott passed away, she, you know, got this inheritance, got this life insurance policy, didn't know what to do with it. And the deacons of the church sat down with Mrs. Elliott. My dad was part of it. I loved it because we were able to stay after church to like 9:30, 10 o'clock playing basketball. But my dad and another deacon sat down, taught her how to do a budget, taught her how to pay her bills, taught her how to do the mortgage, sat down and says, here's what you need in your life. And I saw that as a 8th, 9th grader, and I thought, you know what? That's a dad, that's a deacon that's doing his responsibility. So, listen, if you have troubles and you don't know how to pay bills, if you don't know how to do something, listen, just ask. And as a pastor, I'd love to help you, and we'll get things in order, because we're here for you. And we're for you, and we pray for you, and we love you. And if there is any problem at all, you call us, and we'll do our best to help with that need, all righty? And all of the younger generation would say a hearty amen, right? All right. Father, thank you for the older generation. Thank you for the widows and widowers and the impact that they have made for God with their lives. Their wonderful testimony. I think about Miss Eloise and just her godly testimony, her kids, and just talking to them a couple days ago. Lord, what a godly example of what a godly lady ought to be. And I'm down the list we go with the ladies here and the men here. But Lord, I pray that we would as a church help the older generation. Father, I pray that we would be godly. I pray that we would do our job to help our church to go forward for the things of God. Help the older generation to impact the younger generation for God and teach us how to walk with you. And Lord, we need you. We need you to help us this week. I pray for every family. Lord, I pray you'd be with our marriages. Please keep us pure. Keep us pure from pornography. Keep us pure from inappropriate relationships. Keep us pure in our phone conversations and texting and social media. I pray that you would be with these kids. I pray you protect them. And Lord, I just realize and think about the reality. Satan has a bullseye upon this church and upon the families here. And I pray you protect us and help us to go on and walk with you this week. Lord, I pray for visitation on Saturday. Pray we have a fruitful time with that. And then Wednesday night with the kids program and prayer time. I pray we all be here. Help us be faithful to the house of God and to be a faithful witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen.